The date was 1970-something, late 70s. The place was a gas station on Highway 25 in Pitcher Butte, Alberta. I was there with my family, and we had a good day doing whatever we had been doing out. And my mom agreed to buy us kids a sucker. And I remember taking a red sucker, and it was a cherry sucker, and it was wonderful. Do you remember those ones that were about this big with the white stuff on the front? Made it look like a fruit slice? Oh, I loved those things. And we got into the car, and we continued on our way back to Coldell to home. And I was in the back seat. I was enjoying my sucker. Oh, it was wonderful. And my brother Gerald, well, he picked the purple ones, the grape ones. I never liked those ones. But he liked the purple ones, and he asked for his sucker. And my mom dug in her purse, and she pulled out his purple one and said, "Could you give Dave his red one as well?" Well, now I've got two suckers. And I was confused. Because when she said we could have a sucker, I took my sucker. But the one that she had in her purse was the one that she paid for, not the one that I had in my hand. And so I said, "But I've already got my sucker." And we concluded that Mom's was the one she paid for. Mine was the one that was stolen. Of course, my dad had to make a big deal of it. And I was quickly in tears and afraid that I was going to jail for stealing a 5-cent sucker. And since we were only a little ways down the highway, my dad turned us around. And I was literally in tears because I knew my dad said, "I'm going to jail for stealing." So we went back and I had to return the unused sucker and apologize for stealing. That may have been the hardest thing I had ever done in my entire life up to that point. Admit that I was a thief. I know it's horrible. But thankfully I did what was right. Now a Sunday school teacher was teaching her class about the difference between right and wrong. And she says, "All right, children, let's take a look at this example. If I were to get into a man's pocket and take out his wallet and remove all of his money, what would I be?" Well, little Johnny put up his hand really quickly. He says, I know. "All right, Johnny, what would I be?" And he said, "You would be his wife." Wasn't the answer she was looking for. And maybe before I get too far and in too much trouble, let's review our Ten Commandments as we're going through the Ten Commandments this summer. Those of you who are new here, indulge us, join along. We've been learning them on our fingers. And commandment number one, his one finger, to remind us that there is one God and only one. Commandment number two, do not bow down and have any other idols. Commandment number three, do not use the Lord's name in vain. Commandment number four, take a Sabbath rest. Commandment number five, honor your mother and your father. Commandment number six, don't murder. Commandment number seven, do not commit adultery. Commandment number eight, don't steal. Commandment number nine, don't lie. Don't bear false witness. Commandment number 10, do not covet. There we go. All right. Now, most of us, we don't think we've got a problem with stealing. And as far as I'm aware, there's no one here that makes it a habit to commit armed robbery or even the occasional B&E for fun. All right? I hope there's no one here like that. But if there is, you're in the right place because God loves you and you need to hear his word. But is that all that's meant by this commandment of don't steal? Did you know that there are 138 synonyms for stealing? I'm going to list off a few of them, not all 138. Think about the kid at McDonald's who gives you too much change because he hasn't learned math properly, and you keep it. Stealing. You find money and you don't even attempt to find out who lost it. We call that finders keepers, don't we? You take a pen or a clip home from work, or you take it off the pastor's desk. How about this one? You do personal work at work, stealing company time. Oh, you download a movie and watch it on TV or on your laptop or your computer without actually paying for it. It's stealing. You have an expense account at work of $30 a day, but you only spend $15 on lunch and you pocket the other $15. Stealing from the company. You buy the lunch special and your wife buys the buffet. No, let's do that the other way around. Your wife buys the lunch special, you buy the buffet, and she steals off your plate. You bought a chocolate bar. Well, no, your kid buys a chocolate bar and only eats half of it and then falls asleep and you finish it off. Stealing. Now, maybe we're not so innocent after all, are we? And one of the biggest things in the Christian life should be our integrity. And the world is watching. And so today in our eighth commandment, it literally says, you shall not steal. Now, there are many reasons why we have this commandment, and the first one is simply because God makes it a law, and therefore stealing is a violation of the law. In the Hebrew, this is another one of these commandments where there's just two words. Ours says, thou shalt not steal. Hebrew is, never steal. It's an absolute. And yet, billions of dollars are lost every year in this country over the theft of goods and services. One estimate is that one out of every 52 shoppers carries something out of the supermarket that they didn't pay for. And according to one Canadian stat, 1 million people are caught shoplifting every year. But for everyone that is caught, 25 others get away with it. That means there are over 25 million incidents of shoplifting in our country every year. That's shocking, but what's even more shocking is that only 10% of all shoplifters come from low-income families. 70% are middle class, and 20% are classified as wealthy. According to a Maclean's article, a newly opened hotel in Toronto reported that in their first year of operation, they lost, due to stealing, 18,000 towels, 355 coffee pots, 1,500 pieces of silverware, and get this, 100 Bibles. I'm not endorsing sin, but I hope whoever took the Bible actually reads it. But regardless of the reason, stealing is a sin. It is wrong. And God declares it this way. And so God has made three primary methods by which people can legitimately increase their possessions. And when we were learning about the Sabbath, God created us. We learned that God created us for work. And that allows us to increase our possessions as a reward for work. Contrary to popular belief, work is not a curse. Now, there are those who say, well, back in the garden, they never had to work until they sinned, and then it became part of our curse. It says you have to toil. Well, up until then, they still had to work. It wasn't nothing to sit there and take care of that massive garden. Lots of things needed to be done. All the animals needed to be named. You didn't think that was work? See, in 2 Thessalonians, it says, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat." And we talked about that in our series on Thessalonians not that long ago. But God has designed us for work. And as a result, we can increase our stuff. A second way is by receiving a gift. Now, all of us have received a gift from family or friends at some point. And this is the way it should be. But the early church was characterized by giving to meet the needs of the less fortunate. In fact, when you look at our banners, it's based upon Acts chapter 2. These three banners right at the front, where it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he needed. And that's the way the first church operated. A lot of gift giving. Now, sometimes we actually get what we pray for. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Can't ask unless we're praying. And God gives us gifts. Sometimes they come in material possessions. Sometimes they come in other ways, such as healing or other things. Well, I remember when I was in college, there was this a friend of mine who owned an old 1962 Chrysler 300. This beautiful car. It was as big as the dorm. It was huge. It was way too big for his needs. We could fit over 20 people inside that car. And he often asked for prayer for a better car suited to his needs. A missionary couple in his home church, they were short of funds to go back to the field, but stepping out in faith, they decided to go back anyways. They had a 1990, which was a fairly new car at that point, Toyota Camry, which they couldn't take. And they thought about it, and they prayed about it, and they felt that God wanted them to give their Toyota Camry to my friend. Just gifted it to him. Well, my friend received the gift, which was an answer to prayer. But now he's got two cars. Well, at that time, there was a staff member of the college in Caremport who, well, we'll just say his car was no longer. There was a problem on the highway, and he ended up in the ditch, and his family car was gone. He also was a car lover who loved old cars. And my friend then sold his car to the staff, who insisted on paying for it. He then took the money that he received from the car and gave it back to the missionaries who gave him his car. It all worked out the way God wanted it. The missionaries had their support. He had a more suitable car for his needs. And the staff member got a beautiful 1962 Chrysler 300. Big enough to fit his entire family and half the campus. Now, sadly, there is one other way to gain possessions and increase our possessions. And that's by corruption or sin. And what we call taking what is not rightfully ours, or according to the verse, stealing. Ephesians chapter 4 says, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with those in need." It's a great verse because God shows us in this verse, stop stealing, work with your hands, so that you can not only have what you need, but use it to help those in need. Well, the date was early 1962, and the place was Moscow. Nikolai Khrushchev spoke of a time when there was a wave of petty theft in the Soviet Union. And to curtail, the authorities put up guards around the factories. And at one timber factory in Leningrad, a guard knew the workers in the factory very well. And on one evening, out came Peter Petrovich with a wheelbarrow, and on that wheelbarrow was a sack full of sawdust and wood chips. "All right, Petrovich," said the guard, "what have you got here?" "Oh, just sawdust and shavings." "Come on," he says, "I know you're stealing something. I wasn't born yesterday. What is it that you've got?" And so he takes it and he dumps out the sack into the wheelbarrow. Sure enough, it's nothing but wood shavings and sawdust. So he allowed to take it home. And this went on for many years. But once a month or two, Petrovich would have the very same conversation with the guard. And one day on his last week of employment, he told him, "I'm retiring. This week is my last week." And every single day that week, he walked out with a wheelbarrow with a bag of shavings. And they had the exact same conversation until the very last day of the week. And on that last day of the week, he says, "You have to tell me. I know you're stealing something. What is it that you are stealing?" And he says, "I cannot tell you, but come to my house." And so he went to his house. And when he got to the house, he was taken out to the backyard, where he saw a very unusual sight. There was about 100 wheelbarrows. And he said, "My friend, it is wheelbarrows that you are looking for. Would you like to buy one?" See, now theft is costly, because it not only costs the one whom you're stealing from, but it also costs you. For as a believer, if you are stealing, it costs you your testimony. It would be better off to have a testimony worthy of God than to steal something. There's a story about an American lieutenant in Japan who was stationed there, and he was impressed with the efficient service of the maids there. But he was told that you can't trust the maids. They will steal anything. And he had a beautiful Nikon camera, and he kept hidden in his room. But one day he remembered that he forgot the camera out on the nightstand. And he was worried about the fact that he would come back and find it gone. And when he came back to his room, sure enough, it was not on the nightstand any longer. It was gone. And he was upset. And he called the maid in and he says, "Where is my camera?" And she led him to the bottom drawer where he had hid it every single day. And she said, "I put it back where it belongs. In its proper hiding space." He now understood that reputation isn't everything. And that she was an honest maid. She could have stolen it, would have cost her job. See, there is a correct means and a corrupt means for getting gain. And stealing is a violation of the law, but it's also a violation of our loyalty. There's another story about a young man who came to his pastor, and he says, "Pastor, you've preached on stealing and you put me in a bad place. I've been stealing from my employer and I'm ashamed of it. You see, I'm a boat builder, and the man I work for is lost. And I've talked to him about Christ, but he only laughs at me. And in my work, expensive copper nails are used because they won't rust in the water. And I've been taking these nails to build a boat of my own in my backyard. And I'm afraid that if I tell my boss the truth of what I've been doing, even if I offer to pay for them, he's going to call me a hypocrite. And I'll never be able to reach him for Christ." pastor said, well, you got to do what's right. The next time he saw him, he had this huge smile on his face, and he was so excited. He says, pastor, I've settled the matter, and I'm so relieved. Well, what happened? He says, he looked intently upon me, and he said this, George, I've always thought you were a hypocrite, but now I'm not so sure. Maybe there is something to your Christianity after all, because any religion that makes a man admit that he's been stealing must be worth having. See, we don't understand and we don't know how God is going to work. But God will work through any scenario if we are willing to honor him. And so stealing is a violation of our loyalty. And ethically, we need to be on board of all areas, right? And I've spoken a fair bit about stealing from the workplace, but it also goes the other way around. Paul wrote to those in the church of Colossae in chapter 4, he says, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair because you know that you also have a master in heaven. So if you're underpaying or overworking or mistreating your employees, you're actually stealing from them. So it goes both ways. And often we think, okay, we're all good in all of these scenarios. We're really good. We're not stealing. We're not thieves. But what about those times when we borrow something without bringing it back? Such as tools. Books, cup of sugar. Well, maybe they don't want that cup of sugar back. Sometimes even money. I've often referred to this as borrowing with little or no intent of returning. But if we steal, we are showing the world where our loyalties really are. They are with materialism, not God. And as such, we need to make certain in our own lives where our loyalties fall. Because as a believer, there should be absolutely no doubt. Do not steal. Our loyalties are with God, not within the material possessions. And this brings us to the fact that stealing is a violation of God's love. The love of God should restrain us from stealing. The Bible talks about stealing of the tithe. It says this, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be found or food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. And yet when we withhold our tithe from God, when we withhold what we really need to give to him, our tithes and our offerings, the Bible is clear. We are robbing and stealing from God Almighty. Folks, everything that we have comes from him. Everything. And he asks for a tithe back. Don't withhold from him, because when you do, you steal from him, and it's a violation of his love for you. Because God loves us so much that he promised to meet all of our needs. And even asks us to trust him for everything that we need. And sadly, we too often don't. And we not only steal our tithe of money from him, but we steal time from him. Because often he says, give of your time. So God desires that we are wholly devoted to him. And we don't always give him more than a few moments of our day, do we? God spends all day providing for you. And some of us don't even bother returning thanks, even once a day. How much time do you give God, who gave his only son for you? Folks, Jesus is Lord, and so we should follow his example. And he prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." Too many of us are saying this wrong, because we're saying to God, "Not your will, but my will be done, God." But God has not only promised to give you all of your needs, he has given each of us some amazing spiritual gifts. And these are to be used in the body of Christ, the church, for God's glory, as well as for using them to further his kingdom. So I challenge you to use your gifts that he gave you. Because if you're not, you're actually stealing from God and violating his love for you, his law, and you're declaring your loyalty to be elsewhere. There's one more story I want to share with you. On September 19th, 1990, Danny Sampson robbed a bank in Ottawa. He used a Colt 45 and he stole a grand total of $6,000. When the RCMP caught up with him and confiscated the gun that they took the gun that he had used and they sent it off to the lab. And somebody in the lab recognized that this wasn't just a Colt 45. It's a collector's gun, a prize gun. It was made under license by the Ross Rifle Company in Quebec City during World War I. One of only 100 ever made. It was worth well over $100,000. It was just some gun that his dad had. He died and given it to him. He thought it was just useless. He could have taken it in and sold it legitimately and had more than enough money, but instead he used it to get $6,000, which he had to return, a record, and time in jail. He didn't have to rob the bank. He was wealthy and didn't even know it. He actually fit that slogan, "You're richer than you think." Stealing for Christians is just like that. We have all of the blessings of God, but we're not using them. We're not even recognizing them. Instead, we stoop to the world's level and we steal, we cheat, and we bargain away our integrity. So this morning I challenge you. This commandment is do not steal. And most of us, yes, we can say, "I don't steal. I don't use it to steal from my neighbor or from my workplace or from my whoever." But are you stealing from God? Are you giving your full tithe? Are you giving of your spiritual gifts and using them for his glory? Because the Lord Jesus gave us everything. He gave us himself so that we can have salvation. May I challenge you to give to God your whole self. Be wholly devoted to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you that you provide everything for us. Father, I pray that you would just remind us this day and help us recognize all of the ways that you so richly bless us. And that there is absolutely no need, only detriment to you and to us in stealing. Father, you are so amazing and we thank you for that. May we go forth from here and reflect you to the world around us and let them know where our loyalties lie, that our loyalties are with you and not with anything else. Lord, help us not to steal from our neighbors, from our workplace, from our family and friends. And most of all, help us not to steal from you. This we pray in your precious name. Amen.